Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, please, your blessing upon the reading of the Bible. Now help this preacher, dear God, as we preach on this subject. May we leave here with an understanding of the importance of this piece of armor, the shield of faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Probably four times this month, we'll preach. I'll have the opportunity at least to preach on the subject of faith. Brother Chad Gordon took a Wednesday night when I was out of town and taught on the subject of faith. I listened to a wonderful, wonderful Bible study. And so we'll have had an opportunity to give a good examination to this subject of faith. Now, the infatuation with this, the thought of this above all piece of armor has just captivated your preacher. I want to make some introductory statements about this armor, the piece of the armor of God, the shield of faith. Let me just give you some introduction here. Number one, the shield of faith is clearly defined as part of the armor of God. It's clearly defined as part of the armor of God. You say, preacher, that's obvious. Well, I want to give us a biblical context so that when we talk about faith, we're talking about the same thing. See, there's a lot of Bible words that people use that they misuse today. I've had lost people say, hey, keep the faith. And I wanted to say, faith in what? Or they'll say this, hey, don't lose faith. And you know, faith is bantered about and used a lot of times on a secular level as if don't lose a positive attitude, don't lose hope. But folks, if your faith is in faith, then you don't have Bible faith. It's not, faith isn't a positive attitude. Faith isn't a positive outlook. If you're going to have to have faith in something. And what I want to say is this, if we are going to have a faith that becomes a shield of protection to us, then that faith must be placed in Jehovah God, in Almighty God. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Folks, what this is saying is this. Listen, it's just not a matter of having faith. It's a matter of putting your faith in God, the God of the Bible. All of the pieces of armor cannot be separated from the God of the armor. Our loins are to be girt about with truth. What truth? The truth of God. While wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Whose righteousness? The righteousness of God. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Watch this. Which gospel? Because there are what the Bible calls other or another gospels, which are not gospels. So which gospel is your faith to be placed in? The gospel of God, the shield of faith. Faith in whom? Faith in God. The helmet of salvation. Whose salvation? God's salvation. The sword of the Spirit. Whose Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. How about this? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what I'm going to say here and start out by saying is this, is you have to understand, folks, you can't, having studied this in the Bible, separate this idea of a shield from the person of God. If there's anything that's repeated about the shield and the idea of a shield in the Bible, is there's always a strong connection to the fact that God is our shield. The first time the word shield is mentioned is in Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In 2 Samuel 12:3, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust." David wrote this. He was a warrior. He said this: "He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." He wrote again in Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped." In Psalms 33:20, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Psalms 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." How about Proverbs 30, verse 5? "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Now, folks, when we're talking about this faith, matter of faith, we're not talking about a fuzzy feeling or a positive attitude. We're talking about taking the faith, the capacity for faith that God gave you, and with your free will, choosing to put that faith in God. First of all, in Jesus Christ for your salvation, but after you are saved, in God, so that you can learn to live by faith and live successfully in the Christian life. We're in introductory statements. I just want to remind you of this because there's still a sermon coming. Amen. Number two, watch this. The shield of faith is unique in this passage because it's listed as the above all piece of armor. I'm going to be honest with you. I wrestled with this. Of all the pieces of armor that's mentioned, one of them is the helmet of salvation. I'm not sure I wouldn't have moved that above all to salvation. Another one that's mentioned is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as much as we rightfully extol the importance of the Bible in our lives, wouldn't God, maybe should have God said above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, but he did not. Now let's stop and take a look at that. Let's pause and take a gander, folks. Let's meditate on this a minute. Why would God stop in the list of all of these pieces of armor, and when it came to the shield of faith, said, "Listen, if you forget any of them, don't forget this one, because this is the most important of all." Now, why would he say that? Maybe it's because, you know what? You can't put on the helmet of salvation without faith. It takes faith to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, "Preacher, but what about the Bible? Why didn't God say above all?" Listen, you can have a Bible, and most Americans do, but until you put your faith in this book, I mean, believe it enough to read it, believe it enough to obey it, believe it enough to follow it. You know what? Watch this. It's just not worth much as far as the difference it's going to make in your personal life. And so I think that there is an argument here. Obviously, God is right. The Bible's right. And that should cause us to take a look at this piece of armor and realize, man alive, if we need anything, we need to understand and use the shield of faith. You see, faith, folks, activates everything else that God has provided for us. This matter of prayer is mentioned in verse number 18. But James said this: "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." And you say, "Well, maybe prayer should be the above all." And God says, "Prayer's worthless without faith." So faith activates everything else that God has provided for us. We shouldn't wonder that it is the above all piece of armor, because Hebrews 11:6 says it best: "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Number three, last introductory statement: the shield of faith is necessary if you're going to be able to defeat the devil and stand in the evil day. This is what the passage is about. This above all piece of armor is necessary because the church of Jesus Christ for these many centuries have been engaged in spiritual warfare. Let me make something clear this morning. Let me make a public proclamation. I do this from time to time. The devil and I are sworn enemies. There's no common ground between us. I hate him and he hates me. It's the only thing we agree on. He's dedicated to the destruction of the gospel, and I'm dedicated to the advancement of the gospel. You cannot successfully live the Christian life, watch this, and be a pacifist. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. God not only saves, he enlists people into the army of God. Psalms 144:1, watch this. David said this, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Brother, I like what old Lester Roloff said. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. If you're going to do right, stand right, and be right, you're going to have to fight in this world to do it. If you want to turn out kids for God, you're going to have to fight. Be willing to fight to do it. 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul said this, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Maybe you ought to go to your King James Holy Bible and underline those three words. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 4:7, at the end of his life, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Watch this. I have kept the faith. And so this matter of faith and the need of a shield of faith. Now, I want to talk to you about this shield. I want to see if I can get your attention, regain your attention at this point, and I think I'll be able to keep it the rest of the way. But I got to meditating on this. I got to doing some study on this matter of the shield of faith, this above all piece of armor. And Brother Chad's been a little busy around here. Most weeks he don't do anything, but for the last week or so, I've given him just enough to keep him a little busy around here. And so I had him doing a lot of things. The last couple of weeks, he's just, burnt the candle at both ends and in the middle, and I appreciate him and some of the men that have come and helped him on these projects. Hey, Blessed Hope Baptist Church men, a commercial right here. Just because we hired an assistant that oversees grounds and buildings does not mean that everything that needs done around here ought to be Chad Gordon doing it. When we call work days, man, we ought to have an army show up on those work days. Lose the attitude, oh, well, Brother Gordon will do it. This is your church. One man can't keep it all up. He's just overseeing. He's not doing it all. So let's get that heart back here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all right? And I've had him busy, and I'm getting ready to go on the teen trip, and we had a wonderful time, the teen parent trip. We had so much fun on that. And I'm getting ready to leave, and the last thing I said was, hey, I don't know what you're doing the next couple days, and I didn't. I didn't realize he was going to put all these lights on and do all of that. But I said, hey, you know what? I need you to, if you can, in your spare time, we got to make sure Miss Rachel, you all help in this regard. Miss Rachel, his wife, is expecting a baby. She's 3.5 weeks from her due date. Brother Chad is not always real good about answering his phone. She's a little nervous right now, okay? So everybody that passes Chad Gordon, anytime from now on, between now and the baby's born, just ask him, do you have your ringer on and is it on loud, okay? Because we're going to try to help this woman. She doesn't want to drive herself to the hospital, all right? So I said to Brother Chad, I said, hey, I just need you to do a little project for me. I need 5 shields by Sunday morning. And this would have been Wednesday night, I think. And so you know what he did? There's 5 shields that were ready for me when I came back here. And I do want to thank him for that because I know he's been very busy. But I got enthralled about this idea of the shield of faith. And Brother Reiser, where are you? If you want to slip back and get me one of those shields. Now, that was a quick job. These aren't professional shields. These are not shields you'd really want to go to battle with. But something that you'll at least get an idea on. I want you to visualize it. I had to stop and meditate on it. Why did God call it the shield of faith? Now stay with me, folks. There's 3 things that kind of came out of my study of this idea of having a shield. Think of having a shield of faith. I wonder if he actually meant for the round part to be down. You suppose? Does that look right? Or does that look right? This? That? This? All right. We're going to have a business meeting right now. All right. How many of you vote that it should be this way? Raise your right hand. How many of you vote that it should be this way? Then why is the handle down here if it's supposed to be that way? All right. I may do it wrong, but I'm going to let this group win today, all right? And then I'll use them again next Sunday and keep everybody happy. We'll use it. No, we won't. And so this idea of a shield of faith. Now think about this. And the Lord, he taught me some things. And by the way, I've done some study. I think it's interesting. I tend to like historical novels. I'll just tell you that. And I like novels that are written in the period, time period of the Bible. And when you talk about the warfare and how they fought wars back in there, shields were very, very, very important. Okay, nobody back there's fighting with an M16, okay? We're talking about swords, lances. You'll hear here, you'll see the Bible talks about shields and bucklers. The word buckler simply means a spear or a javelin. It comes from the word hurl. So a lot of times it's either sword and shield or spear and shield, and that's how the battles were fought. Now, if you think about that, the idea of sharp objects coming at you, also the bow was coming more and more into prominence as far as a weapon of war during these days, and so the idea of having a shield became very important. Now, stay with me here. The shield of faith provides three things for us as Christians. Number one, the shield of faith allows advancement. Advancement. Brother Reiser, do you have my sword? Could you bring that sword out there? Now, I want to kind of contest something. You say, preacher, I hear people, preachers say this, and I've said it. I've said, you know what, in all of the armor of God, there's only one offensive weapon, but I'm going to change my thinking. I hope I'm going to change yours a little bit. You say, preacher, the shield is for defense. It is, but it's also an offensive weapon. Study it out. It's not just the sword that you're used as offense. It's the shield. You see, armies weren't retreating. That wasn't the goal. They were advancing. And when they advanced, the shield provided push to advance. Now, I'm holding it a little bit different than it normally should be held. And normally what there would be two leather straps, and you'd put your arm in this one and grab the second one. And that way, I'm not holding like this. You would just hold it. It would become really an extension of your arm. And so a soldier would take his arm like this and literally with the shield, push forward, strike with the sword. Push forward, strike with the sword. Defend with the shield, strike with the sword. So listen, folks, watch this. What I'm saying is this. Faith provides us the opportunity to advance. It provides push. I'm going to remind the church of something. Hey, we're not supposed to be in retreat mode. I'm seeing too many Christians curl up and take a defensive position. Oh, preacher, we can't do anything about the government. We can't do anything about the devil. We can't do anything about the culture. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to circle the wagons and hold on till Jesus comes. And the only thing we are left to do here is just watch the sky every morning, hope Jesus rescues us. Jesus said, occupy until I come. That doesn't mean occupy space. It means occupy land. It's a military term. The church is supposed to be advancing. Wasn't it Jesus when he spoke of the church? He said to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't it written in 1 John chapter 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How about 1 Peter 5:8? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accompanied in your brother. Now what I'm saying is this. Let me just ask you an honest question. We've got to move on. Are you retreating or are you advancing? You going forward in your Christian life or are you starting to slide backwards? You know what, folks? What we need is the army of God in one accord pushing forward with the shield of faith and then followed by the sword of the Spirit, faith and the Bible. Faith in the Bible. Faith in the Bible. And as long as you keep that combination, you will continue to walk forward in your Christian life and not retreat backwards. So the shield of faith allows for advancement. Number two, the shield of faith allows for protection. And that's what we read here in Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know what Saul, you know what killed Saul, King Saul? An archer? That's what killed King Saul. David in his Lamentation of Saul talked about how he needed to teach the children of Israel to properly use the bow. You know why? Israel's defeats were because the enemy were learning to use a bow. Now, when we're talking about the fiery darts of the wicked, folks, you can imagine how all of a sudden a bow and arrow, archery, how it changed the idea of warfare. Before they started using that, it was basically, as I said, a sword and a shield or a spear and a shield. Okay? And so you know what? The only way you could get close enough to kill somebody is engage them, hand-to-hand combat. But all of a sudden now we have the fiery darts, if you'll let me say this. You've got the arrows coming, but as long as you have this shield, you know what? You're still okay. Because as you see the arrows go into the air and come down upon them, all they would need to do was just kneel down underneath the shield of faith. Now, folks, it is for advancement, but it's also for protection. And if you haven't noticed this, young people, you better look up, because the devil's good at hurling those fiery darts. And somebody who does not know how to wield the shield of faith will be taken out by the fiery darts of the wicked. And so this idea of faith and living by faith, we preached last week on how to live by faith. Listen, if you don't incorporate faith in everything you do, then you lose your shield. You lose your protection. Listen, we've got to live by faith. We've got to operate by faith. And we got to put that faith in the power of the Son of God. Now, I wanted to mention those two, but the best time frame, most of my time, I want to spend on number three. The shield of faith does provide push, and it does provide protection, but also, watch this, it requires partnering. Now, if you didn't study this type of warfare, you wouldn't understand this. But one man against an army, by the way, the devil's got an army. One man with a shield, with a sword, against an army is not going to last long. So in Bible times and before, when armies engaged in battle, one of the things that they used to succeed in battle is something they called the shield wall. The shield wall. Now, folks, listen to me. The man that invented this formation conquered the world. And what I'm saying is this. One man with a shield can only protect himself from one direction. But a shield wall is literally, watch this, like a walled city, only portable. You go to attack a walled city. Read in the book of Proverbs, and it talks about how hard it is to take a walled city. But you know what? On the battlefield, they got the idea, well, if walls protect us in our cities, when we're out mobile, why not recreate the idea of a portable wall? And so, Brother Reiser, why don't you go get a couple more of those shields, and Tristan, I may have you help me, and I may have Nathaniel, you come and help me at this time. Now, all of a sudden, here we are in warfare, and we see the enemies, okay? And I'm by myself, and the general or the captain or whoever's in charge of this, we all got going the same way, if they saw the enemy begin to advance or begin to see the archers get ready to loose, whoever's in charge would pick a spot, and he'd say this, he'd holler, shield wall, shield wall. Now, the way they interlock these shields is important. Tristan, you're going to put your shield just slightly behind mine like this. And I'm going to put mine, though, slightly behind yours. Now, when you push on your shield, let's lower him a little bit. When you push on your shield, you know what he's not doing? He's not only pushing on his shield, he's helping me push on my shield. And when I push on my shield, I'm not only pushing on my shield and using some of his strength to push on my shield, but I'm pushing on your shield. And all of a sudden, folks, listen, shield wall, here comes the enemy. They're running forward to attack. Armies, okay, the mongrels that just had this wild warfare, just running attack, and they didn't have any discipline, they didn't have any formation. The Romans literally conquered the world with shield walls. Because you know what? Watch this. They were disciplined. They trained. They understood, I'm just not fighting for my personal survival or glory. Come on now. This is what's wrong in independent fundamentalism. But you know what? I'm responsible to protect him, and to protect him, it's not just me that ought to survive. All of us need to survive. And by the way, that mentality came into the armed forces of the United States. It comes from ancient battle. And Brother Tim, and come on, Brother Steve, you were all trained that you were not just, listen, your job was as much, listen, you trusted your brother on your right, and you trusted your brother on your left. And when you asked the average soldier that was actually in combat, why did you really fight? Was it for patriotism? Was it for America? You know what they say? They say, we fought for each other. We fought for our brothers. Come on. I see you nodding your head. And you know what? Shield wall. It requires partnership. So you put yours there. But I like the way you're aggressively holding that with two fingers. Come on, get a hold of it. You want to get a hold of it with this arm here. Let's do it right. And all right, like that. And all of a sudden, now here comes the arrows. Let's kneel down. Shield wall. You keep in contact.
Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. I'm going to see if I can get two more help. Two more big soldiers right there. Here we go. Give me a couple more of those things. Now, folks, I didn't have Brother Chad make 50 of these. Go down the other end, Dalton, because he needed to sleep. Huh? I gave you Dalton. Your whole life is being protected by Dalton. Good luck with that, man. You'll be all right, probably. All right, so now we're here, and now we're here. All right, now we're here. All right, use your left arm, because you've got a sword in your right arm. Guys, you got a sword in your right arm. By the way, what are you already finding out? This takes what to hold these like this? Takes strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know why some of these guys are already cheating with two hands? Because it takes strength. Hey, you know what we need? Watch this. Look up here, men. We need men to come and stand in the shield wall. But it takes strength to stand in the shield wall. It takes spiritual strength to stand in the shield wall. And hey, your wives are back there. A lot of the families used to travel with these early armies. Your children are back there. Well, my arm's tired. Hold it up anyway. Okay? But I'm wearing out. Hold it up. Well, I hurt. So? I cannot understand the softness of this age. If it, you know, it hurts. Well, then hurt. But hold the shield. But I'm tired. Well, be tired, but hold the shield. And we fight. Now, I want you to imagine. Can you imagine? Folks, listen to me. We're talking about centurions. We're talking about 100 strong. I want you to imagine. This is 5. I want you to imagine a wall of these men coming at you. And here comes the mongrels. Here comes those that are undisciplined. And by the way, that's the devil and his group, okay? And they come and they attack and they try to strike fear and they try to strike terror. But you know what? The army that stays strong, the army that maintains discipline, the army that understands that unity is important will always defeat the mongrels. Now, let me get my sword here. And I didn't have swords for everybody, but I want you to understand something. We got this. And all of a sudden, here they come. And you know what? We are advancing and we meet them. And you know what they'll say? They'll say this. Touch shields all the way there. Touch shields. Touch shields. You know what? Because anybody that's undisciplined enough to panic and move their shield and try to fight this guy. You know what you do? You take care of what's right in front of you. You don't fight this guy. You don't fight this guy. You let him fight that. But you know what? You're all helping each other in this matter of warfare. And you're all sticking together. And so shield, attack, shield, attack, shield. And sometimes under, attack. And you know what? An army like that will defeat. Listen, the devil can be defeated. Why does he win so much? Moms and dads, let me help you with this. Why does he win so much? Because you're more worried about spreading discord in the church than unity in the church. Because every time something happens, you're going to take your little shield and walk over here and pout. Come on, man. I ought to be pastoring, not babysitting. When I need men, let me talk to you. Men, I need men. Every church needs men. I interviewed my dad shortly before he died, and I sat down and asked him a bunch of questions. And I said to dad, Dad, when you first started Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what was your prayer? He said, I prayed two things that was on the top of my prayer list. He said, I prayed that God would get the glory in everything we do. And then he said this, I prayed that God would send men to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Men to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let me read some verses to you. Watch this, and I want you to stay with me. Watch this. The shield wall were for the fiercest warriors. I didn't have our older men come up here, but I'm going to tell you something. The older men, the veterans of war, if you've been saved and faithful to church and faithful to the Lord, and I didn't say you're living a perfect life, but you've been saved, faithful to church, and faithful to the Lord for 20 years or more, would you stand up? Just stand up right now, 20 years or more. All right? Let me tell you, I'm going to do men, Sister Carl. I'm sorry, I should have been more specific in that. Now watch this. You know what this is? These are the veteran warriors. They're the ones that form the shield wall. They form what's called the first rank. I'm going to teach you young people something if you'll listen to me. Is this all the shield wall was? No, there's more to it than this. Stay with me. We're going to learn. Is this all the shield wall was? Nope, there's more to it than this. Let me see if I can get, I'll tell you, Brother Reiser. Why don't we have you come, JR come, my brother Ali come, and brother Frank, would you come? I want you guys to hand your shields to these men here, okay? How many did I get called? Did I get five of us up here? All right. And you men can sit down. If you'll sit down, thank you so much. Now watch this. I want us to go ahead and lock that. And you're behind me, and he's behind you. And come over here, brother JR, and I'm behind you. And brother, now I need you five guys here. Come back up here. You young guys, you're already turning traitor. You're already you're already retreating. I said those guys, men out there that have actually worked hard and earned the right to sit down, they could sit down. That's what I said. Now watch this. Watch this. Listen. Listen, you know what? You know what ranks are? A shield wall is not one man thick. Okay, the less experienced, but maybe not quite as experienced, next line of soldiers were right behind these guys. Now watch this. They didn't have to have a shield, because there was a group of older men. Are you listening? More experienced men. Hardened, battle-hardened men. Not this in and out junk. Not this, I did good for 3 months, then I did poor for 6 months, then I did good for 5 months, then I got mad, so I quit for 2 years. You know, hogwash! Hogwash! Okay? You don't have a place in the shield wall, and you gotta earn, watch it, you gotta earn that place. Come on, Brother Tom. You know who I want to my left and right? I want some grizzled veterans. That's what I want. I want guys I can count on. That's what I want. I want guys that have had every opportunity excuse to quit. I don't want double-minded men. I don't want cowards. Now, I'm challenging some of you. Listen, I'm not beating up on you. I'm challenging you. You can, in 20 years, stand as these men stood and say, you know what, preacher? I haven't left the shield wall. Now, you guys, you don't get a shield, but you know what? That allows you to have two weapons, man. You got this second tier fought with a long sword and a short sword, or sometimes a long sword and a battle axe. But you know what they did? They pushed behind this guy who was pushing because he does get tired. Come on, I got a generation of guys getting tired. Now, they can still hold and they'll still fight, but they ought to have the next generation helping them push. It wasn't just us pushing. It's the group behind us that are pushing. Are you watching this? And so, let's lock in and let's do this. Come on over, come on over. Touch shields, touch shields, touch shields. All right, good. Now push. You guys push behind us, push behind us. And we're pushing on them. We're advancing the army. And you know what I'm doing while I'm doing that? I'm doing this. And you know what you're doing? Here, take this sword for a minute. Please don't hurt, Brother JR, all right? And sometimes I'm pushing so hard, it takes so much strength just to hold the line of faith that I got to put both hands to it. And you know what? You guys see that. So you know what you do? Whoever's pushing the hardest against me, if I'm losing, if it's weakening right here, you and you on either side of me, come across there and stab at them, or take your short shield and go underneath them and cut their hamstrings. I don't care how you do it. Just get them down. Say, preacher, you don't fight fair against the devil. Devil don't fight fair against us. Come on now, you fight what you fight. Come on, all this fairness sounds good in a boxing match, but on the battlefield, come on, talk to these battle veterans, okay? You know what you do? You win! I take out the devil any way I can take him out without violating the word of God, okay? So that's what we're doing. Now watch this. Let me just give you one more thing here. Say, preacher, somewhere, come on, somewhere sooner or later, there's going to be a casualty. Yeah, this is war. Or one of these old warriors is, you know what, they're just going to wear out. They're going to get injured to the point where they can't hold the shield up. And maybe during the battle, you know what, maybe during the battle, somebody goes down. And I'm going to pretend I get wounded and I go down. Now, folks, listen. If the enemy wants to defeat this army, you know what they try to do? They try to break the shield wall. If this produces a gap, okay, you see him, what he started doing automatically? You know what he did? You know what? Sometimes you're so busy fighting, you didn't even see me go down, back over. Old Tristan grabs that shield and steps up. And by the way, son, just go ahead and step over my body. Okay, because I'm not what this is about. Beating the enemy, advancing the gospel. All right, you know what? You can stop and have a little ceremony when it's done. But you know what? Just step over my body and keep pushing. Because it's not about, you know what, heroes, it's about our general Jesus Christ. And that means, by the way, let me tell you which shield wall almost always won the battle. Watch this, young people. the thickest one. And there ought to be behind Brother Mumaw, and there ought to be behind guys our age, our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and they're pushing behind. Keep going, Grandpa. Keep fighting. If you can't fight anymore, I'll step in. I've been watching. I know how to do this. I've been training. I know how to do this. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ has gone forward through the centuries, because of the shield of faith. Now, let me teach you one more thing. Watch this. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of the battle, and it gets hard. And by the way, brother, this is real life stuff. And all of a sudden, the touch of cowardice, there's a touch of cowardice in the heart of one of the men. He begins to falter. Starts worrying about the temporal instead of the eternal. Starts worrying about getting out of this thing alive. Hey, I could be at home enjoying myself. I shouldn't have to go to a church where they seem like they want to fight all the time. Come on, I want my easy chair now. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the battle, he forsakes this brother, and he forsakes this brother, and he knocks this brother aside, and he runs off. And there's a gap in the line. Let me tell you, that enemy sees that. All of a sudden, every bit of their strength funnels to that gap. Because if they can break that gap, all right, they can break that gap and get through. Now remember, it's not just here. There's 50 guys that way and 50 guys that way. And now we've got enemy behind the line. Remember how I said focus on the battle in front of you? Five guys down don't even know there's a gap. So here comes some heathen, and he breaks through, and he comes around behind, and he begins to kill our brave brethren because a coward ran. I want to read something to you. I want you to listen to this. Man, I'm trying to challenge you. If we don't find and have an old-fashioned revival of biblical masculinity, if we don't have an old-fashioned revival of men with a soldier's mentality in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're done. Okay, this play around stuff, this double-mindedness, I've got my own agenda, my own thing. It needs, it's a cancer. It's killing the Church of Jesus Christ. Listen to these verses. 1 Chronicles 12:33, of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. You know, of all their expertise, they didn't talk about their expertise with a sword. You know what they said about them? They could keep rank. How about this? 1 Chronicles 12:38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. All the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. You know the type of men that David wanted as his mighty men? That when the battle was the hottest, touch shields, push, touch shields, fight for your brother, fight for your wives, fight for your children, fight for the Lord. That's who he wanted. How about this one? Joel 2:7. I've got this verse as one of the verses on a blank page in the front of my book on biblical masculinity. Watch this. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. They shall not break their ranks. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing devils and seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And folks, listen to me. I love every single person that's ever fought in this line with me, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm a little tired of people extolling cowards. But see, when you... Let's lock back up. Come on. Touch shields. Touch shield. You know what? If I decide to be cowardice, and I not only did, notice, watch the first people I'm affecting right here. If this guy has any fear in his heart, and he sees Jerry Ross cut out and run, you know what he's probably going to do, and he's probably going to do, and he's probably going to do, and you know what? That's why they could bust through, because I wasn't just losing a physical position. I was spreading a spirit of cowardice. Oh, well, I know so-and-so doesn't serve the Lord, and they don't come to church. They don't. But you know what? Yeah, I know what. I know there's a gap in the line. I know there's a gap in the shield wall. That's what I know. I know there's other casualties because of what they let through. That's what I know. Do you love them? Yeah, I love them. Do you respect them? No, sir! Don't have any respect for them. You know why? Because I've been in this shield wall for a long time. And I've watched good men that fought with their last breath and go down in battle still swinging. And you know what? I've seen young men that had the courage to pick up a shield and step over their bodies and say, I'm going to pick up where they left off. And we've been doing it for centuries and centuries. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ did. Folks, you know what it takes? Faith. Faith. Blessed Old Baptist Church, you know what? When your preacher grabs a shield, stands up and says, shield wall, you know what? You shouldn't be running off forming five or six other shield walls depending on what you want to do. You ought to come over, touch shields so that we can survive this thing and win this thing together. See, this shield, it does. It provides push. It provides protection. But it requires partnership. It requires men to stand together. And you know what, man? I've preached a lot to you today. But I think that's who's supposed to be in the front line here. Women, we appreciate your prayers. And by the way, fighting makes us hungry, so we sure love when you can make biscuits. And by the way, you know what the warriors have done? They've entrusted the rearing of our sons to women who are supposed to raise warriors. Help us raise warriors. Not pansies, not cowards, not excuse makers. Warriors. Amen. Because you know what? Brother Charles, my deacon board, man, I'm going to leave Brother Tom out of this because he's the same age as me and I don't want that age to sound too decrepit. But brother, we've got men that have pushed on this shield wall for a long time and their hands are a little feeble, but they're still holding on to the shield. And if it wasn't for young men right now helping them push, they probably couldn't even stay in the battle. But you know what? That's what young men are supposed to do. And you know what, young men, every one of you at some point is going to have to reach up and tap somebody on the shoulder and say, listen, would you take the second rank? God's given me youthful strength and skill and determination. Son, do you have the courage, though? With God's help, I have the courage. Give me a chance. And there's going to be a time when, you know what, this whole body starts breaking down. I think the mind's already gone. And I may not be dead yet. I may not be able to fight on the first rank, but I'm going to tell you something. As long as God gives me breath, I hope I can kneel down and stick a sword underneath and maim some old demon of hell. I hope I can keep fighting for the Lord. Thank you, guys. You can lay all those back there, and you guys now have permission to sit down. So, the shield of faith. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies against the foe and veils below. Let all our strength be hurled. Almost like they understood the shield wall. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road that saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. Listen, folks, I'd rather live a warrior. Listen, I'd rather live for 10 years as a lion than 50 years as a lamb. I'd rather live for 10 minutes as a lion than 50 years as a lamb. To him that overcomes the foe. Say, preacher, what about the day that the old saints of God go down? To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels, he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hill of light, our hearts with love of flame will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. And you know what? How the chorus goes? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to become men of faith. Dear God, the above all piece of armor. There has to be someone that's willing to advance when everything inside, all natural inclination says retreat. There's got to be someone that says push forward, touch shields, push forward, touch shields. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful. In these days, dear God, of confusion, may we be a disciplined army. In this day of cowardice, dear God, may we have the courage that Moses prayed upon Joshua that we would be strong and very courageous. Lord, I pray, dear God, at Blessed Baptist Church, that you'll help us to find young men that are willing to give them their lives to a cause, to something greater than themselves, to serve a king, dear God, that is unlike any king that sits on any throne upon this world. Dear God, that they would not serve the prince of the air, the devil, but they would join the army of God, touch shields, stand behind. And Lord, if there's a casualty, Lord, or God forbid, there's cowardice, I pray, Lord, that you'll give young men the strength of heart, the determination to snatch up a shield and fill the gap. I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Shield wall. Shield wall talk. That's shield wall. May we get this, we pray.